Big.
Shiny.
Goons.
We just saw touch them all, Joe!
It's on the game!
Hello and welcome everyone to the show that gets people talking about something else. This is Big Shiny Goons, it's episode 2. I'm your host Thomas, and we have a fantastic guest today. They're the drummer from Exalt, drummer from Mourn, and a known Arizona Coyote fan, long time. It's Tim Wah. Tim Wah's here. How's it going, man?
Player. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
What an intro. What a start.
Fantastic.
I know. It's high expectations on this show right now. It's just the second episode, but we have high expectations for the guests.
You gotta come out of the gate hot, you know.
You know? All right, perfect. So you're known Arizona Coyote fans, but obviously you have had obviously experience playing in bands like Exalt and Mourn and stuff. And how's it been kind of living the band life or musician life during COVID and everything?
Well, I haven't really been living the musician life for a little bit. I know a lot of people who are hurting way more than I am, but it sucks not being able to jam and play shows, obviously, or even like, our jam spot has been open for a few weeks, so it's just it's a slow grind trying to be creative or write anything, or it's an uphill battle. But
yeah, for sure. Where are you at? Are you in Ontario or?
I'm in Kitchener. Yeah.
Okay, sick. So yeah, it's kind of out of the hellscape that is Toronto right now. But
just on the cusp.
Just getting that extra little cloud of COVID just like off the horizon.
Yep. You can see it. You look out the window and you can just see like, it's like some Vicks commercial. It's just a gray cloud and everyone's coughing. And
yeah, it's got that green tinge to it. Just like those little, like, you can actually see the little red spots of the virus.
And like the mucus guys from those commercials.
Yeah. What is it? Mucus?
They all just sound like this. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God, that place is a disaster, man. But yeah, so you're able to. So Exalt released a single just in 2019. How was that kind of like experience, I guess, just going right before COVID? Because it was like late 2019, right?
Yeah. So we just kind of wanted to have something out. We planned a few shows. It feels like it was years ago. Feels like it was like five years ago. We had some shows and stuff planned with our buddies in a Cypress Own Eyes from Halifax, and we were like, let's just have some new stuff. Let's just like be a band for a minute here. So we slapped together. We went to Bricktop Studio in Chicago, which is like the only place I ever want to go ever again. Those guys are awesome. We've done all of our records there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we were just like, you know, let's just write some songs. Let's go record them. Let's just have fun and like not worry about, because there's no more like deals. There's no more deadlines. It's just like, we just want to write music and we just want to have fun again and be boys, just chill. So yeah, we're like, let's put one out. And we chose that one, and we still have a bunch that are just done. We're just sitting on, because What the fuck else? What are we gonna do? Here's a new song. See you in 3 years.
Right. I feel like that stuff is like, and especially I don't know if it's just because of the type of music or like artists like whatever that are big. Like, I remember it marked like the beginning of COVID was when Phoebe Bridgers put out her album. It's like it was almost like that. Where it was like that was the beginning, and then like the Taylor Swift kind of phenomenon or whatever. And it's like those artists can just put out a record and just like coast on like whatever, and they'll get
absolutely.
So I feel like being like in, not to discourage you, but a smaller band than Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh, we're fucking nobodies. Yeah.
But like, it's just like you like bet on so much of this propelling like live shows, you know? Like, it's just so much of like, you need to release this record so that people will be like, listen to it right when it comes out, and then see you live like immediately after whenever they check their city.
Well, kind of being around the bit, like not being around the biz, but like once you kind of like have people like like labels and management kind of talk to you about releases, and you go through like the thing of all that, you kind of see why like label, like record cycles, and like see how they work. And like, it's so discouraging when you know, it's like, this is so, like, I want to just put it out and have people listen to it. It's like, but it's kind of like, you also want to like capitalize on any sort of interest you get, right? So, I mean, huge bands and like bands people actually care about can do whatever the fuck they want. It's just like, when it, someone, so a band like us is like, well, might want to hang on to that until we can actually like play shows. And
right, yeah, you got to capitalize on everything. And speaking of like playing shows and everything, have you heard of any like venues that you loved have like closed down at all?
Or
love playing at, or seeing shows?
I can't. I think Chain Reaction is still open.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was a fundraiser, but they were in trouble for a while. Honestly, there's probably a few that I'm going to find out like in a year that's like, oh shit, like, or like we'll be like maybe booking shows again one day. And it's like, oh, that's just not a fucking place anymore. Like, that sucks.
That's a condo.
Yeah, it's a condo now. It actually sells $400 like bedside tables in downtown Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't. I there's probably, honestly, there's probably a couple. It's just nothing lately because it's so deep into it. I feel like the ones that are going to make it are going to make it, and the ones that are done are already done. So hopefully we're over the hill in that respect. But
yeah, because you guys played Sneaky D's, right? Like, not, I think it was just before. Was it when? Like 20. Jeez, man. I think I was.
That must have been that. It was that summer. The last time we played there was that summer with the Cypressone Eyes. So,
right.
Summer 2019.
Yeah, that seems like so long ago. I think I was seeing the show and I was like, oh, like, that's not that long ago. And then I was like, oh shit, that's almost 2 years. Like, fuck.
2 years, but even that doesn't sound right. It's like, no, it's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Man. Yeah. Like, yeah. Then they figured their, like, whole renting thing out, right? Like, they were.
So I don't, that's another one. I just like, don't know. I feel like I stopped hearing about it. Like, everyone was posting like, we got to save Sneaky D's. It's like, okay. Well.
I don't know. Just like posting like blueprint of like, here's the condo building or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, my internet decided not work. So cool. So we'll find out after the show or whatever. Anyways, we'll get right to it. Why you're here. It's on this show. You're a diehard Carolina Coyotes, Arizona Coyotes, the other state.
What are you, a ref? The refs all say Phoenix still. It's like a joke.
Oh my God.
It's like a running joke.
Man. Yeah, that took me a while, honestly, to get used to. But anyways, how do you feel about the season so far? We're 18 games
into
it.
You know what? So far, it's been awesome. And the biggest thing I've been telling people who kind of ask like casually, who are like, they know I'm a huge fan of it, but they like don't really follow the coyote, who follows the Coyotes that I know, nobody. But the biggest thing I get is like, oh wow, it's like, despite losing Taylor Hall, you're doing pretty good. Taylor Hall, man, was the worst thing that ever happened to this team. It's insane. Like, we were firmly in the playoffs when we got him. I mean, we lost Darcy Kemper the next game, I think, for like 2 months or a long time. And then we barely made it into the playoff round and got the wheels beat off us by the Avalanche. But this year has been the same. It's much of the same. It's just like, the boys are cooking. Devo, Christian, I can't say Devo. People will know what the fuck I'm talking about. Christian Dvorak, Connor Garland are just like, coming into their own, and it's beautiful. It's art.
I remember hearing about Connor Garland when he was like, oh, this undersized QMJHL kid is like out of nowhere. And then it's like, yeah. And then he's just like, this season is insane what he's been able to do, honestly.
Well, the thing is, I get undersized. I get that. He's minuscule. But the guy put up 125 and 120 point seasons in the Q in the last 2 years. Like, that's right. Something. You can't discount just because he's small. You can't say that's nothing. So he goes to Tucson for a bit, and he comes up here and he plays like an absolute water bug. Like, you can't – the way he just, like, quick turns off the, he's like, he's skating up the half boards and he'll just like break a guy's ankles. No matter who's on him, he'll get to the corners with Anze Kopitar. He'll get into the corners and get his head beat in. Never gets calls. It's fine. Whatever. He's probably going to retire in 5 years.
Do you have a bias or?
No, honestly, like he's shockingly fun because no one expects anyone on this team to be fun to watch, which I get. We've been awful forever, but it's actually really fun. I implore people to watch one game this year.
They were always like the little dark horse of just like, oh yeah, like even when Ekman Larson was like a little bit younger and like they just made the, like maybe the Stepan trade, so like okay, they're really going for it, they're getting that security or whatever with Ranta and everything, but like they were always just kind of there, just hovering, just like a little bit, and I feel like this core that they have, they shouldn't really mess with or like add to it, like this little core of like Garland, Dvorak, even the Nick Schmaltz. Kind of that Strom trade is kind of working out for them. Keller, Chychrun on the back end. Like, I feel it's a lot. All the, like, the puzzle pieces, like, you're clicking together. And maybe, like, Taylor Hall or whatever isn't really supposed to be part of that. But I don't know. How do you feel, like, about the young core going forward?
So a lot of people, well, the Keller contract is brutal. Like, that was, he's making, like, $7 million plus. And I get it. I like the other ones, like Chayka, locked in Chychrun, Dvorak, Keller, Schmaltz, all to these long-term deals. Mm-hmm. The Dvorak one's like $5 million. So
five. Yeah, it's like five and a half or something like that.
Yeah. Chikrin's just over six, I think 6'1", 6'3", or something. And those are going to be steals. Those are already steals in my opinion. Those are very good contracts. The Keller he's going to have to grow into, but on the actual like game side, I think you're right. Like everybody's starting to mesh and they're still very like relatively young. They've just been playing in the league for so long that people kind of forget how young they are. Like, I think they're all like between 22 and 24. That core of guys. Maybe.
I think Dvorak's like 25 or something, but yeah, because I remember he played for the Knights for like forever, it seemed. Yo, internet, come on. But yeah, like, anyways. But yeah, I feel like this, like, they shouldn't really add to it or mess with it anyway. Like, I feel like even Kessel being there as like their little side show of like, he's just here to have fun and like enjoy the rest of his career kind of thing.
We're giving him a good retirement.
Yeah.
He's going off into the sun, smiling. No, he's so Kessel last year was awful. He had bursts of performance, but his feet were he was flat footed all the time. He got burned on every play going into the defensive zone. But just this summer, you know, he I wasn't there, but lots of reports of him like working out and actually kind of getting in the zone, actually trying to be a competitor again, as opposed to just kind of being a passenger. You know, I feel like part of him thought he could just kind of show up and like run the power play and kind of be that guy. And we're a team built on speed, and he's not fast anymore. He can get up and go, but it takes a while to get him there. So I think he kind of found his role a bit more. It's to expect anything more from him would be kind of stupid.
Well, he's like, he's getting up there too. Like, it's not like he's just like in his prime, like you expect him to produce, like almost like the Hall or whenever you acquired him or anything. Like, it's like, you're just like, he's just there to have fun. You're barely paying him a lot. Like, I think Toronto's still retaining him a lot of it. And I think the Penguins are too.
Yeah. I think we're only paying him like 2 point something million.
Yeah. It's just like, for like a middle six winger eventually, and he'll always be like lethal on the power play or whatever. It's pretty chill, honestly.
Yeah. And he's been good. Like, so far he's 6 goals, 6 assists in 18 games, which is like, what more do you want from that guy? So like I said, everyone's just playing better. So it's, you know, and Chychrun's finally Chychrun has started or finished almost every season of his career so far with a major injury, like broken tibia or fibula or something. And this is the first one he's gone in a full summer of training uninterrupted, full season so far, knock on wood. And he's killing it. He looks phenomenal. So
yeah. So I think it's been kind of up and down for the Coyotes this season, but on the ice it's been good, but off the ice has been a little bit not so.
Not when it so rains, great. It pours, man. When it rains, it pours. Absolutely insane.
So Katie Strang of The Athletic put out an article basically detailing their last 18 months of the Coyotes front office and just how terrible it is. If you have an Athletic subscription, I'd highly recommend you read it. But basically, to sum it up, since the new ownership has taken over and Chake has been fired, and their whole confusion of suspension from the league and off-ice training of prospects in the CHL. Basically, it's been a shit show, honestly. That's basically, to put it up, like, to put it plainly, financially, some sexual harassment just sprinkled in there. So how do you feel of the, just the general vibe right now?
I mean, I'm not even, like, shocked, really, at all. So there's a few tiers to this story. There's obviously a lot of it is, for me, it's review, a lot of the stuff that she brings up in that story. But for a lot of people, especially since The Athletic let go Craig Morgan, like the only Coyotes beat writer, the only stories people really hear are just the bad ones, because no one, you know, like, it's, which is fair. There's a lot of bad shit going on. But it kind of also messes with the timeline. So the whole CHL training prospects thing, and also like kind of molding into the Mitchell Miller thing. That's kind of an old regime issue, which, not saying like it's not our problem, like we shouldn't have drafted the kid, but the fact that Steve Sullivan was in charge of that draft simply because Bill Armstrong couldn't take part in, which, again, I'm not 100% like, they're not supposed to, but who's to say behind closed doors he wasn't saying pick this kid, do this,
right?
But I think letting go Steve Sullivan, like, which is another part of the story, I think that has a lot to do with, you were part of the combine nonsense, you were the one that drafted Miller, you gotta go. Like, there's too much bullshit going on. So, and I mean, that's, I mean, in terms of things I can defend, that's probably the only thing in that story. And it's not really defending. It's more just like explaining. But right. I mean, this new owner, man, like, you can tell he's trying to run it like a pizza chain. It's not a, and he might be great. Like, and like the stuff he's doing that they're outlining with cutting costs and doing all the sketchy shit, that's great in some boardroom setting, you know, when you're just supposed to make money. But is this, especially the NHL now, is so, the fan base is so, like, I see it as voting in Pennsylvania, where it's like, there's so many dumbass rednecks, right? But like the people who are really progressive and really want to see change are very vocal and very like, so there's like these small pockets.
The center of it.
At the center of it, there's people that want this progressive change and are very outspoken. And you can't just do this shit and assume you're going to get away with it. It's not 1970 or 1980. It's not like you can just sweep shit under the rug. Everyone has a fucking $1,000 computer in their hand and they're going to find out whatever you did, whenever they want. So I think that's the biggest problem, is this guy doesn't know how to run a team yet. Hopefully he figures it out. But, and like, what can you say about any of the other shit? It's like, of course, there's a bunch of old white dudes who have a bunch of money. Fuck them. So,
yeah. That puts it super plainly and perfectly, honestly. Like, it's just like, it's so, like you said earlier, like, it rains, it pours. Like, it's just been this, like, the last year or so of just like Coyotes nonsense. And then, of course, like, they get a little more attention because they're not half bad on the ice. And then it's like, okay, I wonder what's going to happen now. It's like in the future, too.
The first time in NHL history, a team plays another team in the regular season for a 7-game series. And we fucking beat the Blues. We beat the St. Louis Blues in a 7-game series. And the next day, this Strang article comes out. And it's like, I can't enjoy anything. fuck this life. But, you know, whatever. It comes with the territory.
Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking of coming to the territory, I do have to move on. We don't really have any segments here. It's just like a chill, just segmentless podcast. It's already a second episode on breaking the rules. But so really, how did you find yourself in this world of Arizona Coyotes fandom?
It's quite strange. It's quite the love story, actually. So when I was a kid, I remember my dad would watch Leafs games in the living room. And I couldn't sleep like ever. So I'd always just kind of like wander in and kind of see who they're playing and kind of watch the game for a period and fall asleep on the couch. And the one day we're playing the Coyotes. I'm like, these jerseys are fucking absurd. And I was like, what team is this? And he's like, oh, it's the Coyotes. I was like, oh shit. And you know, when you're a kid, you're just like, I like this. So blanket statement. I was like, I really like dogs. Dogs are great. So I was like, you know what? I just like this. This is cool. I like this now. And then, you know, when you're a kid, like me and my brother grew up during all the expansions and the, like we followed the Predators. Like we really liked the Predators. We really liked all these teams. And, but the Coyotes always just kept coming back to me. Like I always just like, was just like, oh, I love all these players. Like we always like the most random players. Like Ladislav Nagy, I thought was so sick.
Yo.
And like Daniel Briere, the Coyotes era, Briere was phenomenal. Yeah. And just, you know, like they always just kept coming across my crosshairs again. And I was actually a big Flyers fan for a while. Just because Chris Pronger, I grew up idolizing Chris Pronger.
Right.
But then, yeah, I mean, it just never really went away. And then a couple years pass, and I was watching them for a few years now. And then the Stanley Cup run, the 2012 Cup run, we go to the Western Conference Finals against the Kings, who won that year. That was like that season, and that playoffs was like what cemented it. I was like, this is sick. I can't get off this roller coaster anymore. And little did I know, it'd become even more of a roller coaster.
Man, the whiteout in the desert.
So sick. So sick. You can't.
I remember watching that series. It was the Preds, right, that they beat in the second round. I want to say that. I think so.
It went Hawks, Preds, Kings.
Yeah. So I want to say that round where I was like, no one's watching this. I'm just going to watch it, whatever. And I was like, man, this is actually kind of a fun team just to grab. So then I grabbed, I think it was like 4 years ago, I grabbed like a 2012, like, what was it, like semifinalist shirt or whatever? Like Western Conference semifinalist. I was like, dude, why not?
I lost mine. I can't find mine. I'm so pissed.
Mine's like a triple XL too, so it's just like so like a blanket on me. But yeah,
it's amazing.
Man, it's that, man, that team was fuck. Because like Ekman Larson, that was
like his coming out party almost, and like everything, like Martin Hansel was such a dominant player. Yeah. It's so sad that his back was just awful his whole career, because that guy was such a good player. Like I was obsessed with Martin Hansel. Martin Hansel and Mikael Bodker, who just fell off a cliff. Yeah. But that run was incredible. One of the things I'll never forget burned into my mind. Bodker gets a breakaway, 2-on-1, and he has someone on his I think it was Ray Whitney on his wing, and he goes in on prime Pekka-Rinne, and he just like slows it down and just flings it far side like. It's like he did the controller died thing, and then just ping, and it was the loudest, like the arena just fucking explodes. And I'm just like, I watch this replay all the time. I'm just like, Pekka-Rinne is so fucking mad. Like you can just tell he's like, how did that happen?
Oh,
so,
my God.
And it's just like the most hype shit I've ever seen in my life. Anyway.
Oh, that's sick. Do you think like it was kind of easy to be a Coyotes fan because all of the like teams surrounding you were kind of shit?
You know, like, what? I mean, no. Like, who was shit then? The Kings were great. The Ducks?
No, I mean, like, in Ontario.
Oh.
Like the local teams.
Oh man, they're so fucking corny. I could never like the Jeff Finger era Leafs teams, and like that's how I kind of in my brain it's just Jeff right. Finger. It's all I can picture because it's like the same shit, like the Ron Wilson.
Yeah, the silver piping era. That's what I liked. The silver piping on the jerseys.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, and like who's gonna cheer for the Sens? Like no, and then. And literally, like, every Montreal Canadiens fan I've ever met in my life, I've wanted to fight in the street because they just talk about how many rings they won, like, 50 years ago. Right. So it's just, I couldn't be bothered, really.
Right.
Was that kind of why you went to Flyers fandom first? Just kind of, like, they were also a fun team?
They were super fun, yeah. Like, yeah. Back when it was, when they had Kimo Tiiminen and Pronger. On the and then they had all these random, like when Ville Leino came through for a little,
yeah, like the Hartnell era, kind of like early Hartnell,
yeah,
the Rude Boys.
Oh, yeah,
Voracek was just like a budding star, yeah. No, they were really fun to watch too, but I mean, I'll always cheer for the Leafs in terms of I want them to do well because my dad is a massive Leafs fan and like he right. would be stoked, but. It'll never happen, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by it. Like, I grew up as a Leafs fan, and now it's just, like you said, like, corny just perfect puts it, like, so perfectly that it's, like, even now when it's, like, they're supposed to be doing well, it's, like, okay, there's so much attention on them. Like, every little detail is, like, talked about. Like, it's insane.
So I'm, like...
The opposite of Arizona. Polar opposite. Yeah. They can be doing, like, they'll do everything right, and then they'll get shit on. For their performance, but we'll suck, just suck, and all the fans will be like, oh, but I, like, what? We're gonna trade Antoine Vermette? What the fuck? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, are you out of your mind? Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Like, what would the Arizona Coyotes have to go like on a dynasty, like a Blackhawks dynasty esque run, to be like? Talked about even close to like the same level as like top 10.
Maybe. Maybe.
It wouldn't matter.
Really?
Everyone would say fluke. Everyone would say it's a fluke or something. Everyone would pull the receipts and be like, actually, if this player wasn't injured on the Tampa Bay Lightning for this many games, their season, like they would have been like a beautiful minding the math just to make us like invalid. So.
Right.
Man. So like one question that always, it's like the main, I'm surprised his name hasn't come up yet, honestly, but like Shane Doan, do you think he's a good player? Well, yeah.
You don't get to play that long for being bad. I'll just say that.
Okay.
So the biggest thing with Shane Doan is when he signed his last extension, he turned down, I think it was like a 5 year, like a 5x5 deal from the Rangers. New York Rangers, because he was like, I just want to play here. Like, fuck the money. Like they were going to pay him more, give him more term. Classic Ranger shit, overpaying for a veteran who's not that good. But I don't know. That's the kind of stuff that I was like, this dude rocks. Like he's not going to chase a ring unless it's here. And
right.
2012 was like, obviously the closest he ever got. Or maybe when he was a rookie, had a few good playoff stints there, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean that dude's a legend, and I mean watching him was just like, it was like cheering for your brother or your dad. It was like having a family member playing on the ice, you know what I mean? Like it was more than just watching right. your team. It was like this fucking like this geriatric man just scored a goal. Like I'm so stoked.
I feel like he's so like divisive too. Like you almost know what kind of hockey fan someone is what opinion they have on Shane Doan almost.
I feel like the majority of people, and I didn't get this until kind of recently, think he's like a rat. Like he's a dirty player. And it's like, yeah, he's an old school guy. It takes wax and stuff and he's kind of shitty, but like that's part of his charm. Especially I think the tipping point was when he literally like Undertaker last rided fucking Dustin Brown, in the playoffs. Or I didn't think that was in the playoffs. I think it was just a regular ass game.
Yeah.
Like, man, he has a mean streak for a guy that never swore in his life. He's a mean dude.
I feel like it's like, it's almost like a decade ago, like Kachuk brothers, you know, like it's that kind of like mix of skill. Maybe he wasn't as skilled as like Brady or Matthew, but like still could throw it in and like be contribute that way, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. And I mean, he never really fought. He just kind of, he'd bump guys around and he'd be a physical presence and stuff. But yeah, definitely relied on his size a lot.
Right.
To be good, but
yeah.
So is it like, is it generally hard? It might be even harder to be like a fan of kind of an out of market, whatever, but like on tour, like to keep up with everything. Like how do you even do that while you're on tour?
Well, when we go out west for shows, I'm like fucking laughing because I'm finally in the right time zone. I don't have to stay up till 9 o'clock to watch a game. I mean, there's so much time in between, like, whether it's like, okay, we played, now we're tearing down, we're like, everyone's talking after the show and shit. Like, I've watched entire games on tour before, just like, it really depends. But right. There's been a few times, like me and my brother, who's also in my band, he's a huge Blues fan. And when they were on that that year, they were going for it all. Or was it the same year? Maybe it was the year before. But I remember some playoff games, we'd like sneak into bars across from the venue, just like, oh, you don't have TVs here? All right, we'll see you after fucking sound check, and then we'll just go to some other bar and watch. Right. There's so much downtime, like you figure it out.
Right. I mean, did like other people join you from like bands you're touring with too?
Yeah, actually, a lot of guys low key were super into hockey. Every like when we did that Unearth Fit for an Autopsy tour, Tim, the guitar player from Fit for an Autopsy, he's a huge Islanders fan, and we would like almost every day after we kind of like figured it out, we're like, oh shit, like you like hockey too? Like we would just be like, so like blah, blah. This was when JT was thinking about leaving.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he's like, you know what, man? Like it was just funny to have other people's takes and shit. But no, there's been a lot of tours where dudes are just like low key, like, oh, you guys are gonna go watch hockey somewhere? Cool, I'm gonna come. It's like,
cool. Yeah, I feel like I know like our mutual friend Chris Killingsworth and I have like had a lot of fucking talks about this, but like just this weird relationship between hockey and like hardcore is just like. It just almost goes hand in hand. I don't even know what like necessarily does it. Like, do you have any theories of like why there's just so many similarities?
I think it's like less of a marriage as a like hardcore kids who just kind of like identify with it. And they're just like, yeah, hockey fucking rocks. Like you're beating the piss, especially kids like my age, our age, who grew up with like the Rock'em Sock'em era, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of like, more of a, I mean, kids now, you know, all the like hockey and like the hockey soundtracks growing up, like in video games and stuff used to have like Bullet for My Valentine and shit on it.
Like Avenged Sevenfold.
Avenged Sevenfold. The one year had Deftones on it, you know, it's like bands that I actively like. And I was like, this slaps, like fucking. And then like, obviously like, all the Rock'em Sock'em thing was like Power Man 5000 or garbage riffs, just like. So it used to be synonymous with like heavy music and like, you know, so I think that helps because the imagery was there and the people like kind of like subconsciously like, oh yeah, like I just heard like a huge riff through an HM, like a, not HM2, but like a crappy distortion pedal.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking of Donald Brashear fighting someone, you know?
Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Like it's almost... Like, not to go, like, too, like, anthropological or whatever, but, like, it's almost, like, the geographical, like, sense to it where, like, it's so East Coast and, like, a little bit of West Coast, too, but it's, like, always the city centers. Like, you have your Boston, New York, Washington. Like, it's almost, like, it always keeps within those cities, almost.
Yeah, for sure. I noticed, like, most of the bands that we've played with, like, the dudes who ride for their city, who like live like in the city, those guys are usually like most plugged into like their hockey teams, which is interesting. Like this band Eternal Sleep, from Pittsburgh, like just the bass player Ben is like Penguin. Like I go to his bathroom and there's a framed picture of Jager, like mullet Jager, just sitting above the toilet. It's like, he's like, yeah, some people have crosses. I got a fucking Jager photo.
That is my cross.
that's his holy article.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's like, even when you go to shows, it's just like hockey jerseys just fit too. Like the fashion.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. It just makes sense. No need for explanation.
Yeah. It's like, you don't need to even think about it really. Like I've spent way too much time thinking about it and like read articles and like theories of it, but it's like I do feel like it's just this natural sense, even like the physicality, the it just fits stylistically, you know?
Absolutely.
Anyways, awesome, sweet. So let's move on to the next segment, the actual one segment that I do have for you. This is I already forget what it's called, what I called it. Oh yeah, the content. Okay, let's go. Sweet. So this is the segment of the show where I will get you to produce one recommendation, have it be a book that you're reading, article, an album, a single that you kind of been listening to a lot, just anything that kind of to give out there for people to listen to or experience after they listen to this.
Wow. An album or a, well, something I've been bumping a lot lately is the, this band Fuming Mouth.
Okay.
From the East Coast, from somewhere in Massachusetts. They recently put out three new tunes on a little demo type thing. I'm hoping it leads to a full length. I gotta remember what it's called though. I am an album guy, but to the point where I just hit play on the first one and I don't know what the fuck anything's called and I just listen to the whole thing.
I do the exact same thing. I know the band that I like. I know the album that I like, and I hit go, and then it's just whatever. I don't know what the songs are called.
Yeah. So yeah, Fuming Mouth. They put out three songs: Beyond the Tomb, Master of Extremity, and Road to Odessa, or whatever. Just, it's not one release, I guess, but yeah. And then their full length, The Grand Descent. I've been listening to since it came out in 2019. That band fucking slaps. Huge fan of that. Actually, so we funny story about this band. We played a show in Haverhill, Massachusetts, like 5-6 years ago, and two bands opened, these guys and a band called East Beast, who their singer got kicked out before the show even started. So the rest of the band said, hey, can our other band play? And that band was Vain.
Oh, shit.
And they were like, nothing. And I was like, who the fuck is this band? This shit is uncanny. And then I just like never heard. And then like a couple years later, it's like.
That's. Man, yeah, Vane actually fucking slaps.
That band slaps so hard. It's sick. It's so sick that they just pop the fuck off because that band's.
Yeah,
I remember hearing there's a demo of theirs. I don't know what it's called, but it starts with just like the bass player playing some weird ass riff, and it sounds like straight up Korn, like a Korn track. And I remember hearing that. I'm like, this shit is fucking undeniably sick. Like, you cannot.
Yeah.
I love how like that style is coming back too. Just like. Even like to a point of like Queensway, where it's like the super like kind of like bass heavy kind of riffing, almost like not rap rock, but like that really bass distortion ass like makes you shit a brick kind of sound, you know?
Just rumbling, and it's almost like it's almost like goofy, but it's like. But if a band owns their shit and they're so into it, it's like, how can you call this not good? You know, like if they're just so into it, and you can tell they actually care, because you can see a hardcore band play and you can tell they're just up there and they're like fucking merch group thrifted shirts and they're just like playing their fucking dad's P-bass. Yeah. Like they're just like whatever. But then there's some two kids who just go like all in on whatever they're doing. And that shit rocks. Even if the band is like objectively not good, I'd rather listen to that band play than. polished band of just dudes who are just there because it's cool. So
they just like have in ears, just fucking.
Holy shit! They got scrims. Yeah. Amp covers.
Yeah.
Trash.
Anyways. Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming on the show. Honestly.
Thanks for letting me defend this team when no one else will.
I don't know. People are gonna be disappointed. Honestly, they'll be like seeing whatever sport teams come and be like, "Why are you highlighting the Arizona Coyotes first?" Like,
second episode. Let's talk about a team no one cares about.
We're just going alphabetical and fuck the Ducks.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Fuck the Ducks. Yeah. They're winning 1-0 right now. I'm going to punch my... Well, they're going to blow it later, so that's fine.
It's fine. Anyways, where can people check you out on socials or anything?
So if you want to get sucked down a Coyotes black hole on Twitter, you can follow me at Yotes Trade Sen, C-E-N, like Central. I actually predicted to the fucking asset the Derek Stepan Antti Raanta trade.
Oh, shit.
Legitimately said, I was like, we're trading this first and a fucking defenseman, and we're getting Stepan Aranta. Crazy. So that'll never happen again. But if you want to see some Nostradamus level shit, follow me on there. You can always look up my bands Exalt and Mourn on Spotify. Don't follow me on my personal shit because I'm annoying.
It's all right. Anyways, you can follow me on my personal stuff. No, you can follow
in
me.
Lieu.
Make sure to follow the pod at big_shiny_goons and rate and subscribe, I guess, on Apple. I think we're on Apple now. Spotify, Anchor, all that shit. Well, thanks so much. And thanks, Tim, again.
Dope. Wolfpack.
Hell yeah.